Welcome to the latest Serotalk Tech Chat, powered by Accessible Event, a product of Serotech Corporation, giving the blind, deaf, and deafblind full access to classes, meetings, and webinars using Microsoft Word documents, Excel spreadsheets, PowerPoint slides, and web pages. 508 compliance is just one click away at www.accessibleevent.com. And now, here's your host, Michael Loft. Welcome to Serotalk Tech Chat 62. Tonight's topic is TV on the PC and Mac. We have two guests tonight with differing areas of expertise covering both bases where that is concerned. We have Kevin Reeves. Go ahead and say hello so they get used to your voice there.
Hello, how's it going?
Very good. And Kevin comes into this using the Mac and doing something that we've read quite a bit about, and that's using the Mac Mini, the smaller, most economical option from Apple, as a entertainment device and using it for his DVD movies and on-demand TV shows from Netflix, Portal for Your Entertainment Center. Coming into this, we also have Corey Ballard, who's going to talk about using the Windows Media Center that's available in 7, except for the very most basic version of 7. We've got a link here and goes through how to use it with JAWS 11. I've tested it with Window Eyes as well. I do want to be up front and be perfectly clear that as of today, it does not work with System Access, but we will talk about its power and capability, and certainly, as always, if there's a piece of software you'd like to work with SA, by all means, just send a message, post a message in the suggestion box form on SAMNet, and let us know your interest in support for a particular application. I guess I'm going to start with you, Corey. So 4 years now, you have been using the Windows Media Center. Talk about basically what it offers. I just played with it today, and I'm kind of excited about it, actually. It's a pretty cool little tool. Talk about what it does.
And actually, the accessibility has gotten better with each version of Windows. I started about maybe 4 or 5 years ago, started with XP Media Center 2005, which was actually a special version of Windows, basically XP Pro with Media Center built in. I can't remember now how I came across it, but I just decided I was going to try it. Found that it worked pretty good with JAWS and Window Eyes at that point. And I was able to watch live television, record TV shows, record entire series. You could also rip your DVD collection and store it. So it actually offers a lot of different features that are mostly accessible.
So the gist of it is, which I've kind of figured out as you explained here in this article I posted for those attending the Accessible event, that essentially you have these ribbons, if you will, and you kind of you choose a category, so to speak, vertically, and then you scroll horizontally. Like, say you'd want to choose a TV channel, and you move to the right, and it shows you what's currently on, what's coming up next, on into the future, or list of shows. So say you want shows on demand, they have a selection of internet TV content, so you choose CBS and then scroll over to the right, and you can Young and the Restless or CSI or The Price is Right, which I watched or listened to for the first time today with Drew Carey, and I think, man, he's no Bob Barker, but he's been there for years. But anyway, it's just cool to catch the stuff on demand. You got news shows, you know, whether you want the evening news from ABC doesn't work with them, but CBS and NBC, or just different news clips on demand, which is really cool, 60 minutes, whatever. And your local TV channels, it tells you the numbers and what's currently on. It's actually pretty cool. I'm quasi, you know, pretty impressed with it, actually.
It's the hub of my entertainment hub in the living room. We don't have a television. I have the computer in here with a 28-inch flat screen. That's our TV. And Windows 7 Media Center is actually it's more accessible as you're browsing through the TV guide. It's actually basically laid out as an Excel spreadsheet. Your channels run down the columns, and then you can look at your different times and see what's playing. And with Windows 7, JAWS will actually, and Window Eyes will actually speak, if available, it'll speak a description of the show. So, for instance, it'll say Channel 3, Seinfeld, it'll give you the time, and then it'll tell you the title of the episode and a brief description, too. So in earlier versions of Media Center, you didn't have access to that information, but in Windows 7, you do get that, which is nice.
Well, it's cool because you can also record, and you can set parameters like one time only, or every week at this time, or a certain day of the week, or every day of the week, and it looked pretty versatile in that regard.
Yeah, you can choose to record a series. You can say record only this channel, or you can do any channel. So if you choose Seinfeld, again, for instance, it'll record out in any channel. So if it's on 3, 6, 12, whatever channel it's on, it's going to do. And also you can say either only this time or any time. So if you only want a specific show that is at 7 o'clock and you know a bunch of reruns play at other times, you could just choose 7 o'clock, or you can say all times. And so anytime that TV show is airing, no matter what channel or time, Media Center will record it. And then you have easy access under the TV strip. You have a recorded TV menu choice. Go into that. It gives you a list of all your shows, and then also gives you breaks it down by episode then too.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, I kept getting into some weird menu and say Zoom 1, Zoom 2, Zoom 3 off or something. I wasn't sure what that menu was or what I was trying or supposed to be able to do in there. Is that for...
To be honest, I'm not sure. I haven't come across that menu.
Yeah, it's, so sometimes when I'm choosing a channel or choosing a show to watch, it pops me in that menu instead of just playing what I expect to be the play.
Under the on-demand, the internet TV?
No, it's on the live TV, I do believe.
The TV guide, okay.
Right, yeah, and the TV guide thing. So
I'm not sure. I have not come across that.
Oh, okay, well, very good. So we will come back and go into that in a little greater detail. Now, before we move on, though, I do want to ask you, you can record, have up to 4 devices connected, you said, right? And you have 2 cards in your machine.
Windows 7 supports up to 4 tuners. So, for instance, I have 2 single tuner cards in my machine. Hawpodge, I think that's how you pronounce it. I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, I think
sure,
so, yes.
They also sell dual tuner cards, so you could buy 2 dual tuner cards and then have up to 4 tuners, which would then give you the ability to either A, record 4 TV shows all airing at the same time, or B, watch 1 live TV show and record 3 others. So basically, you know, the number of tuners you have available dictates the number of shows that you can record at one time. I have 2. For me, that's plenty. I don't think that at any time there's 4 shows playing that I want to watch at the same time or record. So
yeah, I'm looking here. I brought up the website, and there's a 2250 that's actually 2 tuners on 1 F-slot board. So so that would be one way to get 4 in there, at least get 2 tuners using up only 1 slot. Now, have you done anything other than the Hawpodge? And the reason I ask is, I actually, back in the day before HD was officially adopted in the States, you know, where it was mandated, I had a USB stick, and I was kind of advised against it that HD really couldn't be rendered properly because you needed that onboard processing of that card. So have you read much about that? If you really need to be PCI, or maybe there's FireWire devices? Or
From what I've the limited reading I've done, I think PCI or FireWire are definitely your best bets because of having – you need to get the best results and the best quality and fastest processing, you need that decoder chip to be on board like that. And I think to try pulling – I've owned a USB TV tuner in the past, and I didn't get great results from it. So I've been sticking with PCI and internal cards.
Yeah, an analog may be okay, but of course there is no over-the-air analog anymore. But so that's something folks to keep in mind, because learn from my financial mistake there, and don't invest in a USB stick. I mean, it may meet your needs. I don't know if you just want to, you know, patch in your cable, but I just did not find it. I mean, the sound worked okay, but if you're trying to do video and share it with others and record, I just really don't think it's the way to go. I want to talk to you, Kevin, for a minute. So you're doing the Mac Mini. Now, you're doing everything but the live TV aspect of it. And I know you and Corey are both doing some of these things. But as far as – so you're actually ripping some of your DVDs. You're purchasing some movies or TV shows from both iTunes and Netflix. So kind of talk about how you've brought TV into your living room.
Well, I feel like the way we get media and the way that we consume it has changed in the past 10 years. You know, in the late 90s, what you would do is you'd go out to your living room and watch a movie. And then somebody would say, oh, man, you got to see this funny little cartoon that somebody sent me in my email. So what does everybody do? They pile into the office and they crowd around that, you know,
a little screen, right?
Little screen to watch that movie, you know, that little slideshow with the music coming out of the little speakers. And that's how we did it for years. And it was whatever. It was fine. But now with the proliferation of YouTube and streaming content, I had this desire to have a box that did everything in one place. So it was like you had your media box that was your DVD player. It was your it played your online and local movies, and then it would play it would log on to your email, or it would go to your YouTube, or it would go anywhere that media could be consumed, and you could share it with your guests on a nice big screen. And I really liked that idea. And when the Mac Minis came out in probably, I don't know, 05, that started to kind of turn the wheels for me that this would be a pretty easy way to do this. So I grabbed one in November. Now that the voiceover technology is just so much further advanced and we're so far along there, and I said, all right, it's time to try this out and see how we can make do with it. And I've hooked it to a 26-inch television, and that is how I consume all of my media content in my theater room / studio down here.
Okay, well, let's start with Netflix. I brought that page up here because they have some movies, which, of course, you can actually have mailed to your home, and you send it back, and they send you more. Yep. You create a list. But also, you can get movies streamed to your home, and I understand they're rolling out even a bigger selection of HD content, but I guess there's also some TV shows you can do as well. What kind of selection do you get for your $8.99 per month?
I'm still trying to suss out all the streaming stuff because there's a lot of stuff that it's random. There's stuff I can find in streaming and that I can't, and there's no pattern to it. But yeah, essentially it's run off of Microsoft Silverlight. Not accessible for, you know, for doing any kind of transport within the show. You're kind of stuck if you're wanting to roll with it. However, Silverlight does save your place in that particular show. I think that's a Netflix feature. So if you do stop it, if you do close the window because you need to go do something else, and you go and bring that show back up later, Netflix will show your position on the timeline, and it will play it from there. So that's kind of nice. But there are a lot of TV shows. I do not recommend the blind users to click the play button next to the TV show itself, where it'll be like play all. Actually click the show, and then you can see all the different episodes on the page and play them that way, because you're not going to be able to advance. And, you know, we have problems with embedded content on the Mac anyway, so Flash and Silverlight are just completely out of the question for accessibility. But it works. Like, you can bring it up and play it.
So is Silverlight any better than Flash, or they pretty much have the same issues?
It's a completely empty window. The other drawback is you can't full screen it. And when you're with sighted people, you know, you have to full screen it. So I have somebody, you know, be like, yeah, just full screen that when it comes in. Because it shows up as a little box in the middle of your screen. And that's not the best use of your screen real estate. And I wish they would come up with some key commands for Silverlight that you could just, you know, like Alt-F for full screen like I can in iTunes or VLC. But that's only one aspect of this.
Can you save or record anything, or is it pretty much you view it?
And you view it, and that's it. You know, it plays, it streams. It, like I said, it saves your position if you close it. And that's pretty much the extent of it. You know, if you want to do the recording and saving, you know, you got to go with the physical copy.
Okay, gotcha. Corey, I want to talk to you about recording in Windows in the Media Center, because I saw there was an option that said burn to DVD or whatever. So I guess my question are, do they make it pretty straightforward, or I would assume a lot of shows prevent the ability to record them natively without maybe using some tools to convert formats? What is the recording process?
Yeah, if recording it is simple. Basically, burn to DVD, it only burns it as a data disk. So Windows 7 now uses a format called WTV. It used to be DVRMS was the file extension. Now it's WTV, which is it's just an MPEG file wrapped in Microsoft's DRM, you know, that they use. But so that burn to disk only burns a data disk. That's it. There are tools out there. One tool is called DVRMS Toolbox, which does a number of things. One, you can decode it and re-encode it as anything you want, basically AVI, WMV, at just plain MPEG. But then there's also a plugin called Show Analyzer that also looks at the file and will edit out the commercials for you automatically. So that's kind of nice too. So as you're watching it, you can just, you know, it'll basically, you can run it on a schedule, so it'll check your folder, and then you can just do it automatically. So next time you go and watch a TV show, the commercials will be gone. So, and then one other thing that I didn't mention, we were just talking about Netflix, is that Windows 7 and Vista Media Center both have a native Netflix plugin for Media Center. So when you update your Windows machine just through normal Windows update, you'll get a Netflix plugin. So under the Movies tab, you'll get a choice called Netflix. And if you choose that, you just sign in the first time, and then it shows you your instant queue, shows you your DVD queue, shows you new releases, and it breaks them down by genre. You can do a search for different things too. And what's slick about it is, you know, I've gone, and it's easier to do it on the web page, so I've gone and added maybe 15, 20 different seasons of TV shows using the Media Center remote. I just choose a TV show in a season, and then it gives me a list of all of the episodes in that season, and I can just arrow down with the remote, hit enter on it, and it starts playing, and it's automatically in full screen and everything.
Very
so
nice.
And that's really what's cool about Media Center, is that I have a keyboard, but it's locked in the entertainment center. Everything is done just with the Media Center remote control. So you really feel like you're using a TiVo or a DVR from your cable provider. You're not sitting there with a full keyboard on your coffee table, but it's just one remote, and you can and do all this. And to have that accessible interface into Netflix is very cool. I mean, you could easily cancel your cable provider practically with the, you know, there's a lot of TV shows on Netflix. You know, their movies are a little bit, there isn't a whole lot of options there, but their TV shows are pretty good.
Oh, really? So there's a good selection of certain networks, I would guess?
Selection of TV
shows. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Any big TV show you can think of. I mean, you know, there's obviously it's always a delay. If you're for instance, if you like The Office, you're always going to be at least a season behind everybody else because, you know, when the DVD releases. But it seems to me that Netflix they have a lot more TV shows on DVD than they do movies. They have a lot of movies, but not a lot of new release movies. There are a lot of older flicks and stuff. But still, even those, you know, are quite easy. I spent an afternoon adding a bunch of stuff to my instant queue, and then when I sit down in the living room, I have access to all those movies and just instantly start watching them.
Now, about the remote.
Exactly. That's where I was going to. How does that work? I actually have one here, and I'm going to have to fish it out and see if I can get the bad boy working, but how do you navigate with
that? Well, the remote I got came with my original XP Media Center 2005, and it's worked on Vista and now Windows 7. There's other third-party remotes you can get. This has been my favorite. So it's just all up and down arrowing and hitting the enter key. So, you know, basically you have a five-way navigation on your remote: up, down, left, right, and center is enter. And so, for instance, if I hit the up arrow, I'm going to go to the next strip. On the main menu, there's also on the remote, there's a big green button, which is actually a very well-known website for Media Center called thegreenbutton.com. But if you press that, that's your Media Center button. So if Media Center is closed on your computer, pressing that will launch Media Center. And it's also kind of like your home button. So if you ever get lost inside a bunch of menus, you can just hit that green button and it takes you back to your main Media Center menu. And so just pressing right and left, up and down, goes through all your different choices. Then there's a normal number keypad like on a remote. So while live TV is playing, you can either do channel up and channel down button, or you can manually type in 24 and it'll go to channel 24 then too.
Just like you do on the computer keyboard. Okay.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
Now, what format does it save the shows in? Is it some kind of protected WMA or what?
It saves it as Windows 7 saves it as WTV. Vista still does the old DVRMS, and that's basically just an MPEG file wrapped in Microsoft's DRM container. Like I said before, there are software options out there to decode and to convert it into WMV AVI. I also have a program from a company called Cucasoft, I believe it's CUCUSOFT, and they have two programs. One's called DVD to iPad, and one's DVD to iPhone. So I can load up those TV shows, and it converts it right into H.264, and then I can put it on either my iPhone or iPad and take them with me then, too. So that's kind of nice.
Very nice.
Very nice. Wow, that's cool.
Now, the Mac has a remote option, too, and that's a thing called Front Row. I do wish that Apple would extend the functionality of it. It is accessible. It is a column view sort of thing that gives you your music, your podcasts, your television shows, your movies, all the things that you've stored online. But what I wish it would do is I wish that it would allow you to actually there is a way to access the iTunes store, I think, with it. But like I want to be able to play a trailer and then buy or rent the movie right from that little infrared remote would be kind of nice, because then you get that like he said, the TV experience without the computer. I'm lucky enough, you know, I have that real thin ultra thin Bluetooth wireless keyboard, so it doesn't feel like I have this giant keyboard on my coffee table, but it is still a keyboard and it is still a computer nonetheless. But it would be nice for Apple to extend the functionality a little bit of Front Row so that you could go through the iTunes store and buy movies or subscribe to podcasts or something like that just from that device. And I'm sure there's somebody's going to come out with some iPhone app, and there probably already is one that's controlling the iTunes, you know, on your computer from your iPhone via Bluetooth or something. But I don't know. That's that, you know, just my two cents about maybe the remote aspect of it.
That would make sense. You would be able to, I mean, you would be consuming more iTunes content than,
yeah.
I mean, it would only increase their sales. So it makes sense for them to do that.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Do any of you use the online portals like Hulu.com or WWITV or any of these sites that kind of aggregate all the different TV channels or on-demand shows?
I use Fancast. Fancast is the one I use a lot right now. Hulu, I used to use in the past, and I don't know about this WWITV. I'm check that out.
Yeah, it's more internet streams. There's also something called the TOMA Internet TV Online Database or whatever, and it's updated by users, and it's a list of currently active or working channels or shows, so there's quite a bit there as well.
I was doing a little research today, and I came across Fancast today, and I thought at first that it would only be for Comcast subscribers, but quickly found out that anyone can stream TV shows. And Hulu a little bit, you know, ABC and NBC, their shows, you can do it. I've used the ABC app for the iPad to watch some shows. With the Media Center now, I don't usually do a lot of, you know, website streaming.
Yeah, I like the shows that are built into the, you know, like CBS, I said, and NBC, and I think Fox had some. ABC never participates in those. They want the traffic to go to their own website. Someone just mentioned one to me today called quicksilverscreen.com, and I was looking here, and it looks like they've got music videos and sports, and so they got some different things here. I haven't really explored this site really well yet, but it looks like it has a wealth of content, and I thank one of our SamNet members, Alex, for mentioning that, so we'll give that a play. So you're really not doing too much in that. So talk about Fancast. I was not really aware of that site.
Kevin, you go ahead. I found it today.
I think it's owned. They're owned by Comcast, because there's like obviously Comcast signage all over it. And it's tons of independent films, and some major releases, you know, kind of thrown in there. Maybe some kind of lower lower back catalog, I guess we'd call it, stuff that they're not going to lose money on. You're not going to lose, you know, film companies are not going to lose money if somebody's watching The Rats of Nim for free, I don't think. But as far as the TV shows, lots of great stuff in there. And you can go by channel. So I like to go GSN and look at, you know, Money List or Price is Right or whatever. And you could just list all shows and just go down the list. And there's probably, I don't know, a good 1,000 shows there. And it's pretty unbelievable. I mean, Simon and Simon, a bunch of shows I've never heard of that I kind of looked into, like Alan Alda's Scientific America. That was kind of cool. Tons of stuff that you probably never would have thought about because you're, you know, used to your own TV watching habits.
Well, yeah, it's interesting because you got people that want just the new stuff, and then, you know, the internet's opened up a whole wealth of going back to the classic TV. Here's another one, favorite-tvshows.com. I think they have their own proprietary player. I'm not really sure what it is, but you have to install that. But they have some content there as well.
The nice thing about Fancast that I noticed is that it's not tied to one TV channel. I mean, if you go to NBC.com or ABC.go.com, you're obviously only going to see that channel's TV shows. But with Fancast, you know, I saw 30 Rock was out there, and it's not tied to one specific channel.
So do either of you know much about interfacing with the cable boxes or the satellite receivers?
No, but I would like to. Yeah. That's for sure.
The only thing with Media Center, they give you an IR blaster. So if right now I'm just running what they call standard cable, so like channels 2 through 99 or whatever, I don't have digital cable here. But if you did have a box, or if you're using satellite, Media Center does give you an IR blaster, which basically what that means is that you can control your cable box, your computer. You give your computer access to your cable box, basically, so it can change the channels.
I kept seeing IR blaster come up. So apparently, right at the appropriate time when it wants to record the show, it sends the codes through the IR blaster and adjusts the satellite or cable box.
Correct.
So then it can record. Yeah.
Correct, because if you know, I'm running analog cable, basically, and so, you know, the TV tuner card itself can change the channel with no problem, but when you have a digital cable box or a satellite box, that's where the feed's coming from, and so, that IR blaster allows Media Center to basically, like you said, send the codes to change the channel. But I did a little research at one time. I think it was TiVo that you could connect to your TiVo box from your desktop, and I don't know if you FTP'd in, or I'm not really sure. But supposedly you were able to control I think you can control the box a little bit, so you could set up recordings and stuff. But you still have the problem of sitting down and accessing the media that's stored on that box. I mean, I think it allowed you to choose to record shows, but then when you sat down to actually watch the recorded shows, there was no accessible interface to it.
I know you mentioned already some particular software, but so we want to build our kind of accessible third-party software pack of all the stuff that we might want to use as we take TV to the next level. I guess I'll start with you, Kevin, on the Mac side, what apps do we want to install to enhance the experience?
You're going to want to install Handbrake and VLC right away. Handbrake is a DVD ripper. I guess for the sake of legality, we would have to say that you would only rip the DVDs that you've purchased under the Home Recording Act of 2004, I think. So now that that's out of the way, we can talk about this. Handbrake is fully accessible with VoiceOver. It is incredibly easy. You have a billion settings to alter what gets ripped, how much of it gets ripped, at what bit rates and video frame rates, formats, all kinds of stuff. And it is free of charge. It's open source, I think it's freeware. The other one, which is open source, and everybody's seen this, is VLC Media Player. You have to have VLC for Handbrake to work, because VLC contains the libraries for doing the decoding. So it actually contains the decrypting libraries.
Now, so did they stop development on that? I heard it. They stopped at 1.05. Is that correct? Or
On VLC?
Yes.
Not sure. I've downloaded a newer version. It gave me a prompt about a month ago to download a newer version.
Okay. So maybe it's just on the Windows side, or maybe I've been misinformed. So anyway, it's still active. Okay.
I'm not. It's weird. I download this stuff, and I don't really participate in the water cooler.
Yeah, geek speak, yeah, well, Apple Insider, and everything else.
In some ways I do, and in some ways I don't. I kind of hear things as I hear things. But VLC is really accessible. It's a before I get ahead of myself. It's a media player. I recommend it for all of what I would call the one-shot media things that you want to open, because there's nothing that drives me, and I love iTunes, I love my iTunes library, but there's nothing that drives me nuts more than wanting to open a file and only hear it once. It's going to be something that somebody sends to me or whatever that I have no desire to aggregate it into my library, and it opens in iTunes, and that's where VLC comes in. It's kind of the Winamp for the Mac, but it's also necessary for Handbrake. It also plays back a million video formats and looks great when it's playing back. And so you got the Handbrake for the Ripper and VLC for the player. However, Handbrake will rip into an iTunes format, and then you can open that video and it will add it to your iTunes library and to your movies selection so that Front Row will see it. So just depends on how you like to organize your entertainment life, I guess.
Yeah, and I found something called Flip for Mac that lets you do the Windows media content. I don't know if you encounter a lot of that or need that on the Mac side.
I haven't used it. I try to steer clear of Windows media. I just have had so many problems, both on the Windows side and the Mac side. I just have never, I like to stick to the more open formats like the MP3 streams or the MP4 streams.
I guess I was wondering if that would allow you to maybe play a WTV or something that was made over on the Windows 7 side if you were doing cross-platform or...
That's a good idea. We'll have to try that. Like, somebody send me like a 2-minute clip of one of these WTV files, because I'm sure they're giant. And then let me get Flip for Mac. I've never downloaded it.
Okay, so anyway, we got these two. We got Handbrake and VLC. Anything else we need? Do we need any kind of... I know there's something called Simply Burns. Do we need that? Or Handbrake just pretty much communicates with the DVD player where we don't even need standalone burning software? What else do we need?
Well, if you want to burn, I have not yet tried burning a DVD that's been, from the computer. I don't see why something like DVD-X Copy wouldn't be able to copy from your hard drive to a DVD. Or if just burning, just in the Finder, would the Finder actually recognize that as a movie and say, do you want to burn this as a data disk or as a, as a DVD? I doubt it. I don't think Apple would be that open. Let's just be honest.
Right. So we don't know yet as far as making the VOBs and the whole.
Yeah. So
the whole play on any DVD player.
I know
format.
How to go the
sure.
other way.
Right.
Like, Mac the Ripper, you could rip a DVD and actually rip it as a DVD folder, and I'm sure Handbrake would do that too. But as far as burning it, there's a million PC options, and I'm sure there's Mac options. I've just never explored it.
Okay, so mainly those two, other things
Handbrake
down the road.
Yeah, I would say Handbrake and VLC. Yep.
Okay, and Corey, then what on the Windows side do we want to get?
Well, if you have Vista or Windows, any version of Windows 7, besides Basic or Starter or whatever they're calling it, you've got Media Center. You used to need an MPEG 2 plugin. You don't anymore with Windows 7, which is nice. They actually, Windows 7 Media Center plays a lot of different formats right out of the box. It'll play H.264. It plays we have a flip, one of those little flip cams here. We're recording stuff with my daughter, and it plays those right away too, which is nice. But so obviously, Media Center is a definite. I still use DVD Shrink coupled with any DVD to also back up my own DVD collection, which is nice because I tell Media Center under the Movies tab, I tell it to watch this one folder, and then any movies I add into that folder, it comes up. And so, you know, I've got a complete list of all my movies, very easy to access. So DVD shrink, like I said, in any DVD. Handbrake, unfortunately for Windows, at least for me, I had a heck of a time monkeying around with it. It just was not very accessible, and maybe with a little bit more effort I could have gotten it going. But
all right, so any DVD, that's the one we want to add there.
Well, DVD shrink does the
extraction from the DVD.
Correct. Any DVD, usually you want running in the background because DVD shrink production stopped on that years ago now. A lot of the newer DVDs are unable, DVD shrink cannot rip them because of copyright. And so by having any DVD running in the background, that actually does the decoding of the copyright, and then DVD shrink then can rip it and re-encode it.
Smaller. Oh, so it, okay. So let's
so
say I,
hand in hand.
Gotcha. So let's say I used to be on TV every Monday morning on Fox 7. So I want a means to extract that content, record it in Media Center, extract it, and burn it to a DVD. What tools would I need to do that?
Then you'd probably want to start out with the DVRMS toolbox that I mentioned, and that is not for the faint of heart. It takes a little bit of tweaking, but once you get it going, it's one of those, or once you set it up once, you don't have to touch it anymore, and it automatically looks at my directory of recorded TV, and it automatically analyzes the show. And I only have it right now taking out the commercials, so that when I come back and view it later, I don't have to watch the commercials. But you can also set it up to re-encode or convert it from WTV into, if you want to do WMB, if you want to do AVI, if you want to do MPEG-2, you could do that, so that you would then use basic, you know, you could use Nero or anything then to burn.
You have a great one called Video Redo that'll do MPEG, and I think it'll do WMV as well. So that would be, I'd like to get it, because I'm guessing maybe neither of you are doing any actual editing where you're actually splicing up the show a little bit, and that's a great tool for that because it's fast.
Sure.
And you put the start and end markers, either what to keep or what to remove. So video redo if you do MPEG. I'm sorry,
now,
go ahead.
Editing MPEG would QuickTime Pro would do that. And something else that just occurred to me, if you've got the cache, Toast Titanium 10 at a low price of $89 would do your DVD burning. I just remembered that, but it's kind of like, that's definitely not a free product. But
okay, well, before we take questions, I want to mention, any of you using any of these, I got some interesting sites for just kind of finding out what's on, and there's a few different ones here. There's one called MyTV RSS. You basically go in and tell it what shows you like, and it creates a custom RSS feed, so then you can use tool that monitors that, and then that way, so shows and reruns, and all of a sudden the new season begins, and you don't know it. It says, hey, by the way, tonight at 8 o'clock, you know, it's a new episode of whatever. So that one's pretty cool. And of course, there's some other one, you know, wireless.tv guide. There's locate.tv.com.
Zap to it.
Yep, zap to it. I didn't include that one. There's epguides.com, episode titles and air dates for over 4,100 TV shows. If you kind of want to, you see a show and you kind of want to know either when it aired or current shows when they began and so forth.
That's a great site. I've used that one a lot. That's a very cool site.
Okay, so you like the EP guide. Okay, very good. Well, let's see. I'm going to go ahead and enable questions and enable the live voice chat. So, again, you can send your text questions. And, again, if you want to ask a question, just simply press F9 and state your first name and release the key so that we can call on you in turn and see if you have any questions for Kevin and Corey and myself. And we'll see if we know, or maybe someone else in the mix here knows as well. But really interesting discussion here. And I'm excited. Like I said, the Media Center, I think, is pretty cool. I'm definitely going to be playing around with that one. I do have a little issue, and I've always had this, and I can never get an answer, how to, you know, if you have a grounded, you know, really good system, 5.1 or something that's really grounded, then you introduce cable TV to it, you get a hum, you get a 60 hertz hum. And I haven't found a way to remove that other than actually ungrounding my equipment, which I'm not willing to do. So.
How about those cables with RF chokes from Radio Shack?
Do they work? Do they get rid of the hum?
They're great. If you're going like RCA cables from one device to another, Radio Shack sells these cables that have these plastic housings on the plug ends, like right above the plug ends, and they completely work. I mean, they're, you know, I bought tons of them.
Wow, and they get rid of the ground. Okay.
Yeah, yep.
Well, that might be one approach. Let's see. We have our first question here. Let's see what we have. Question from Michael Rigo. Okay, he asks a big one here. I guess this is going to be for Kevin. Is Mac the Ripper accessible? What's the difference between that and Handbrake? And is Toast 10 accessible? Because I understand Toast 9 had some issues. So there you go. There's three for you.
Mac the Ripper, we started looking at that with my dad, because he wanted to start ripping movies, and this is before I got into downloading Handbrake. It was all right. I think it's good for doing the video TS, because that's really easy. Like, you could just kind of set it to do the video TS. There's a mode button. It is accessible. It does work. But I found it to error out on a lot more content because of the, you know, encryption. They actually stopped developing the free Mac the Ripper, if I'm correct. That I remember seeing something about Mac the Ripper 2 being a free app and Mac the Ripper 3 being a paid app or something of that nature.
So you haven't had a lot of luck there. What about Toast? You mentioned it earlier.
Toast, I had thought that Toast 9 was accessible because everybody had said that Toast 8 was really usable. So maybe we'll retract that for now because that they're not offering a demo. But I, from what I had heard from a lot of people, that, you know, in the audio realm that it was working.
Okay.
But if it's not, then let's retract it. No problem.
Okay. Then his final question, the difference between Mac the Ripper and Handbrake. In other words, why would we need Mac the Ripper if we already had Handbrake? What is it?
Well, I had thrown Mac the Ripper out there because he was talking about the video TS.
Oh, okay. Right. For those who don't know, video TS is the, if you ever browse a DVD, you'll see that's where the actual content, the .vob files are stored.
Now, if Handbrake does it, that would be nice because it would be all in one. I mean,
okay, so to answer the question, it's really for the ability to make a standalone DVD that can play in a player and you can watch on a regular TV set. Okay, I want to see. I think we have another question here, and that is. It says, remotes, I have the X10 remote. It does PC control through RF and has IR. Okay, so that's one, X10 technologies. Yes, that's certainly. So there's a lot of options there, and most of the TV cards usually come with some kind of remote as well that you can use. Let's see, I have another question here. Hi, guys. I just wanted to tell you more about quicksilverscreen.com. It is a site where users add movies and TV shows, and they're sorted into different categories, and they have lots of new releases. Okay, so if they mean,
is that legal?
Well, when they say add, I don't know if he means physically the shows or if they simply add links to the content already online in other places.
Oh, gotcha.
I mean, I don't know. I'm assuming or inferring that's what is meant by that. But let's see. I think I have another one here as well. Okay. Output from traditional appliances so that you can control your PC or TV from one remote. It's all integrated. The remote can set to emulate different keystrokes at different applications. Okay, so they're right. Yeah, the X10, I guess you're getting more into the programmable remotes where you point, you know, you put it into some kind of mode and you point the original remote of the device you want and then it learn like a learn mode or something, I guess. So yeah, we're saying it's like a multi, or whatever they call that, right? A remote that handles multiple devices. So
that would be nice,
yeah, instead of having six or seven, you know, remotes lying around, certainly.
Some of the Logitech Harmony remotes are pretty slick because they'll do a lot of different, you know, you can control a lot of different devices, but then they do a lot of macroing. So just hitting one button will turn your TV on, turn your stereo on, switch it to video one, whatever. You can do like, you know, 8 or 9 steps on you know, just pressing one button.
Yeah, so turn on your devices, slick. Close the drapes, dim the lights.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they do all kinds of stuff. One question here that's a good one. Lyndon Walker asks, as far as content, are there any streaming sites that have DVS programming? I'm not aware of any. What about you? Or how is, maybe on that note, like just navigating the DVDs, Have you found a way, like in Windows, I use the DVD audio extractor, but actually finding the ones that may actually have DBS content in them?
Well, that's a good question because I rented Avatar a couple days ago, and I was disappointed because, you know, any DVD program like, the Apple DVD, which is what I use to play back, you have the audio menu, and so you can see, like, English 1, English 2, Spanish, French, blah, blah, blah. And I did not see a DVS option. So my assumption was that maybe that's either Blu-ray or a special, you know, the special edition DVD version of that. I have not yet looked at certain DVDs to find DVS on it. It would be nice to see because there's kind of that disconnect. You have this brilliantly accessible DVD program, but yet it can't read any of the text that's going to the screen, like for the DVD menus and all of that stuff. So you have to do it from the menu bar. And I wonder if that's enough to make that come up.
Well, I'm curious if there's something like this on the Mac. Alex points out, asks if you guys are aware of DVD audio extractor for if you want to take DVDs and extract to MP3s. And, of course, the website is castudio.org, I do believe. I think it's up to 5.03. Great program. On the Windows side, it's the best at navigating and finding all that hidden content that can be obscured in the menus. And I'm just curious how you approach it in the Mac. Is there any third-party DVD apps that you use other than what's built into the...
Somebody had put a link up somewhere on how to do that, and it was completely nerdy and Commander Data, and it involved doing something with Handbrake and making sure that Handbrake was outputting to something else. I tend to get a little discouraged if it becomes more than download this app and read the help in it, you know. Because if I start tweaking stuff, I may that's where I kind of check out. But it looked like it was pretty nerdy. Somebody should, and maybe there is, and we're not thinking. But who knows? That's a good question.
Okay, here's a question from Mr. Bacon asks. Have you guys set up 5.1 or 7.1 or ceiling mounted speakers or integrated audio from multiple sources?
I have a 5.1 system in here, and so I do optical out of my computer into the 5.1 receiver, and then I, you know, my rears are mounted in the ceiling behind the couch. And so, you know, this motherboard on this computer either has or the has an SPDIF output, so just, you know, basic digital output and then into the receiver. So and then Media Center's built in MPEG-2 decoder will then just spit out the 5.1 if it's DTS. This receiver is also DTS, so if it's a DTS track, it'll spit that out without, you know, converting it. So any DVDs that's either 5.1 or DTS, it can handle that. So
that's what the SPDIF is, because a lot of folks see that, or option in Windows 7. That's for surround sound or multi-channel?
Correct. That's a digital out. So, you know, rather than, you know, just doing your analog, you know, like 3/8 inch or whatever that is, you know, your headphone jack style, this is a single RCA style, and it's to do digital out then.
Okay, very cool.
On my end, I currently do not own a 5.1 system or 7. I would like to, but I've been in such small quarters for quite a while that it just didn't make sense. But I did purchase because I do have I have ins with a company called Griffin Technologies out of Nashville, Tennessee, and I can buy their stuff at cost. And I did purchase something called the Griffin Firewave, and I've yet to try it. I've still got it in the box. Essentially what it is it's a Firewire box that's got 3/8-inch outputs on the front. And so essentially how it works is you've got if you have, you know, some kind of 5.1 system where you could, you know, convert down the RCAs to, you know, three different outputs. You've got your front left and right on one, you've got your rear left and right on another, and you've got your center and sub on another, and supposedly that's supposed to work. Now, the Mac Mini does have optical out, but I think that's only two-channel. It's done via the 1/8-inch output on the Mac Mini, and I've the research that I've read is that it's two-channel and it's for also bilingual input.
Right, but that's what I wonder. Like my iMac, it's just got one, you know, 3.5 or eighth inch out, and I guess you have to somehow get all three or all surround sound channels from that, and I wasn't sure how you accomplished that.
Yeah, what you would have to buy is a converter, and this Firewave is what does it.
Okay.
And it's a small box. Now, as far as multiple sources, the way I'm doing it right now is my TV has VGA in, so I'm running the VGA. I'm not doing the HD stuff, so I'm a little lower tech probably than Corey is, but.
I'm not HD either, so.
Oh, okay.
So I'm just running VGA, but the VGA input on the TV also has a stereo eighth inch input right above it. So I ran one of those monitor cables that have the audio cable attached to it. And so when you do that, then you're running out of the Mac Mini from the VGA and the audio going into the VGA and the audio on the TV. So whenever I switch to VGA, I have my audio. 5.1, that'd be a little bit complicated.
And now they're actually going to include the audio in the HDMI, which they have not in the past, right?
Now that will be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did hear that the next version of the HDMI that's coming out is supposed to include audio now, too.
Here's another question that asks, and it's a good one, actually, again from Mr. Bacon, how about audio broadcast around the house or streaming to the house? Well, one thing we didn't talk about a lot because none of us have it that I'm aware of, there's a device called Slingbox, and it's at slingbox.com. And basically, you interface this with your, or if you want to spend a little more money, actually has a TV tuner built into it. But you can basically connect to it. Its purpose is to broadcast your local TV and video so you can remote into it and get it from anywhere in the world. So that way you could use it on both the PC and the Mac. They have an iPhone app for it as well, so you can enjoy your content and move about the home. As far as audio, I don't know. I know there's, on the Mac, you've got the AirFoil, right, Kevin, that has the, that can stream like wireless.
Yeah,
Scott was here. I don't know a lot about AirFoil, but I know that's a tool.
AirFoil from Rogue Amoeba?
Right, and you can stream. You can have an iPhone app that you can stream anything over to that device.
I have never messed with this. I know you've got the proprietary AirTunes with Apple. You've got Squeezebox, which a lot of people like. And there is an accessible iPod app for that. You've got the Sonos devices. It's something I've never looked at. But
I currently use Orb, O-R-B. So I have that installed on this Media Center machine. Basically, you tell it what folders, what are your music folders, what are your pictures, what are your documents, what are your movies, videos. And then if you have TV tuners installed, also it'll access that. So I have that running, which then means from any desktop, any internet-connected machine, you can go to mycast.orb.com, sign in, and then you can see all of your music, all of your TV shows, all of your movies, and stream them. And then there's also an accessible iPhone app. So so basically anywhere I'm at with my iPhone, as long as I get decent 3G, I can choose live TV, pick a channel, and actually what happens then is my home media center starts playing it, Orb then spits it out, and then my iPhone picks it up so I can watch live TV from anywhere. I have about 250 gigs of music. I have access to that at all times, so on the iPhone, which, so for me, that's great. I mean, I just bought the 16 gig iPhone knowing I could get Orb going and have access to all that music.
Well, yeah, and not to mention, people are making these MyCast playlists that they're sharing. So now you've got this kind of social part of that cloud content where it's like, here, why don't you stream whatever's on my hard drive?
Mm-hmm.
And people were building scripts to, you know, allow it to broadcast to multiple people, and Orb is pretty powerful.
It's for something that's, I mean, the iPhone app's $10, probably the most expensive iPhone app I ever bought, but to have access to that amount of music. You know, we have a 6-month-old baby, and so I have probably 100 of these movies, little movies we've made with our flip cam. And so, you know, wherever I'm at now, I can show any family member or anybody these videos. So,
brilliant.
You know, and also, you know, we have probably a couple gigs worth of photos that my wife's taken. And again, I can just launch Orb on my phone, choose photos, and boom, you know, I'm looking at all of my photos. So
hopefully it's more stable now. We're going to have to wrap up. We ran out of time, which didn't take long to do. But I had issues sometimes getting it to connect and getting it to stream. I mean, it's worked, but I had issues making it consistent. It could have been things on my end or, you know, getting ports forwarded correctly in the router and so forth. But when it works great. And the final thing on that is that audio. If you just want audio, one option, of course, would be to buy something, you know, an FM transmitter that you could connect to your box and just tune in an FM and take it around. There's mobileblackbox.com. There's FM transmitters at C-Crane, which is ccradio.com. I don't really like that unit. I don't think it has enough power to really cover a house. But although there is a screw you can turn counterclockwise and beef it up a little bit. But mobileblackbox.com, they got a couple nice units there. So there's a few different ways to kind of accomplish that. So while we covered a lot of stuff here tonight, and as many as you can see, it's not as simple. There's a lot of options out there, and I'm going to go through and listen to this and find links and add them. So the page you're looking at right now will be a little larger. Right now, I think it has 32 links. It'll probably be up to 50 by the time we're done. But that is available for anyone at servotalk.com/shownotes/tv.htm. Any final comments from you guys? I'll start with you, Kevin.
Oh, I don't know. I'm having fun with this. It's all new to, you know, some of it's new to me. I would like to get a FireWire TV tuner and experiment with that. So I don't know.
I'm there with you. I'm looking at something that's cross-platform, PC and Mac. I can take between them, or, you know, I have a MacBook now. I'd like something that, like, when I travel, I can take with me and plug it in and have TV capability. Of course, with HD, you have to be pretty close to the transmitters anymore. So, you're going to have some weird-looking antenna. I've got one here. Looks like some fan blades. It's a very funky-looking thing. But how about you, Corey? Any final comments tonight?
Media Center is a great accessible solution to, you know, for many years I sat and wanted TiVo, friends at TiVo, and then, you know, cable providers come out with their DVRs and they just weren't accessible. And so it's great to have an accessible solution. And also, you know, it's our main entertainment hub. My wife hates computers. She has no problem sitting down and grabbing the remote control and using it, which proves how easy it is. Because if it was difficult, it would not be in our living room if she wasn't able to watch her TV show. So, you know, it doesn't take a lot of monkeying around to get going. But once it's up and running, it's awesome. So,
well, very good. Thanks a lot, guys. Well, after the event, if you want to give email, I'll make them available if that's optional, of course, if you want to take questions from individuals offline. But we thank you for joining us for Serial Talk Tech Chat number 62. We do it every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, 6 Pacific. 2 weeks from tonight, we'll be talking about the mighty Office 2010, the good, bad, and the indifferent. This concludes another Serial Talk Tech Chat, powered by Accessible Event, a product of Serial Tech Corporation, giving the blind, deaf, and deafblind full access to classes, meetings, and webinars using Microsoft Word documents, Excel spreadsheets, PowerPoint slides, and web pages. 508 compliance is just one click away at www.accessibleevent.com. Until we meet again, stay connected and stay directed.